Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube feed and all our social media channels, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside Ezra Ginsberg, alongside Dave Manuk, I am your host, Drew Mindell, talking about tonight's Jets-Flames game, a 3-2 victory for the Winnipeg Jets. Got a little bit chaotic there at the end. The first 40 minutes were as really sort of straightforward and uneventful as a hockey game usually gets. And then that last 20 minutes certainly was a lot more on the entertaining side. Winnipeg Jets are able to hold on a little bit for dear life, but they are able to hold on and get the clean 2 points, certainly thanks to Milan Lucic and his brain fart that led to the Jets and the eventual game-winning goal by Paul Stastny. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Saturday evening. Your thoughts on tonight's contest between the Jets and the Flames?
Well, you know, you just mentioned Lucic's double minor there, Drew. Like, what is he doing there? Like, the Flames cut the deficit to one goal, right? And it's obviously boarding. It's arguably, you know, a major there. Mm-hmm. So he could have easily been kicked out of the game for that. Then he punches Neil Pionk. But, like, the timing, like, the timing to me is just, it's ludicrous why you would decide to do that. And, you know, for the most part of this game, I mean, the Flames just, you know, they weren't good enough. I tweeted this out, like, what did they have, 12, 13 shots after two periods? And, yeah, like, you had a couple of good chances. But, you know, this was definitely not a high-event game, boys. And, you know, yeah, they make their push there at the end. You know, Matthew Tkachuk with, you know, the goalie pulled, with Markstrom pulled. You know, they make it a one-goal game, and it looked like they might even tie it up there. You know, there was a lot of time in the Jet zone there for the Flames, but, you know, just overall, like, to me, this was a good, confident team beating a team that's not very good and that isn't very confident. And you know, obviously there were things that happened, you know, in that game. And I actually started to write all the turnovers down in that game because there were so many. And obviously, you know, the Jets get a little bit lucky there.
Except then you got hungry and you have to eat a turnover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, an apple turnover, Drew. That's right. I mean, with these 9 o'clock games, I mean, you have to have a couple of snacks ready to go, right? Like, your snacks are usually gone before the game starts. Absolutely. But yeah, just, I mean, yes, the Jets were very good defensively, but I might be wrong here, guys. I mean, you watched the same game that I did. I just didn't think that the Flames made it difficult on the Jets. And Dave, when you talk about shooting yourselves in the foot, mm-hmm. I mean, Jacob Markstrom shoots the puck, and I realize that, you know, Markstrom's pretty good at playing the puck, and he's obviously trying to, you know, shoot that off the glass, but then it's a 5-on-3, and up to that point, the Flames were actually looking pretty good killing that penalty off, right? Like, I think there was a minute and a half left in Lucic's penalty, something like that, right? So, like, that was the definition of shooting yourselves in the foot. This was a game in which the Flames were totally in it, down a goal in the third period after they were down two after two periods. And then they just continued to take penalties. And, you know, that's a sign of a team that just isn't very good and isn't feeling very confident. We know they lost those two games to the Senators, and you can say whatever you want about the Senators, but you got to win those games when you're battling for your playoff live. So, yeah, give the Jets credit. I mean, they stepped on a really bad opponent, but I just thought at times the Flames made it really easy for the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue, but the Jets now have 11-point buffer between them and the Flames. I mean, this game was a critical win for Winnipeg, and we talked about it. Once they started to get things turned around in Vancouver, it was absolutely imperative for them to come in and win this game. And I'm not saying that they don't want to win all of them. Obviously, if they can, they will, and that would be imperative. But it just gives them such a mental boost to really be able to come in and say, listen, we're 3 in a row. We're rolling a little bit. You know, Palmieri's talked about it, consistency in the lineup. And you know, it was one of the things that Pierre-Luc Dubois spoke about in his availability this morning, that idea of this team doesn't get too high, too low. And look, they know that there's some things that they need to clean up. They know they didn't play a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination. So they're not going to be crowning themselves champions. And again, these are against, as we know, non-playoff teams right now. Vancouver isn't a playoff team. The Flames aren't a playoff team. So you have to caution yourself when you're patting yourself on the back going, okay, well, you've won 3 games in a row because these opponents, again, Vancouver hasn't been the best. Calgary, what have they lost now? 4 in a row now? This is their 4th game in a row. So
yeah,
You've got wounded appointments. Now, at the end of the day, you have to put 2 points in the standings bank. Absolutely critical. You need to get those wins. So they did, and they got regulation wins, didn't allow it to get to overtime, and it looked like it was going that way because Calgary was putting on the pressure. So for me, again, it's one of those situations where if you're Winnipeg, you are tickled pink right now because even if you were in a split in the last two games, you're feeling good about yourselves over the course of this road trip, which started off poorly. And again, regardless of the opponent, you've got the winning record. You're now tied with Toronto for first. You've played one more game, but you're tied with Toronto for first in the North Division. And again, all importantly, you've added points to that standings bank, which have given you that buffer, healthy buffer, between the Flames from the Canucks. And that's what you need to do. So if you can do that and you keep on rolling, again, is it perfect? No, but it's important.
In that third period, what was going through my head? Sorry, Drew. I was just going to say, like, what is Daryl Sutter thinking about right now, right? Like, we talked about, like, Lucic taking that double minor and then Jacob Markstrom shooting the puck over the glass, obviously unintentionally, you know, putting them down a couple of men. But just the way that they played in that game, like, again, a lot of similarities to the Vancouver Canucks. Like, yes, the Canucks are dealing with a lot of injuries. We talked about that the last couple of post games. Everybody knows, you know, Pettersson's out of the lineup, Pearson, Sutter, and others. But, like, this is a guy who's won multiple Stanley Cups. This is a guy who, you know, took the Calgary Flames to the Stanley Cup final in 2004. They obviously, you know, didn't win. Dave and I made that drive down to Calgary. Like, what's going through game that?
He technically did win the Phantom goal, Marty Zelina.
Well, and Marty Zelina is on the bench as well, right? Like, he's looking over to Marty Zelina, an assistant coach with the Flames, and he's thinking, like he must be thinking, like, what am I supposed to do with this team? And, like, you look at the players and, like, Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau, Elias Lindholm. Like, I really like Andrew Mangiapane. I thought he was one of the better forwards. He, if you guys remember, he pickpocketed Dylan DeMello. I think that was in the second period. He didn't even get a shot on net. But, like, they've got some talent there. Like, I don't think the Flames are going to make the playoffs this year. Like, they'd have to go on a crazy run at this point. But, yeah. like, this isn't, like, they aren't as bad as the record indicates, in my opinion. And we saw that in the third period. Like, they had the push there. They have the talent, you know, to win hockey games. I think that they just made it really difficult on themselves with all these penalties. And, yeah, give the Jets a lot of credit. I mean, the Jets were good on the power play.
The penalties are one thing. And, you know, the Flames certainly, the Jets took penalties too. So the Flames had opportunity on their power play that they didn't connect on until.
The Flames did not have a shot on goal during their first two power plays.
That's not a.
And they did not have one shot on goal,
which is ironic.
Is that good? Is that a good stat?
Eye test or analytics says that's a bad stat.
I think they were just garbage through the first two periods.
Well,
I just flat out didn't think they were good.
All their shots were from outside. They were not high danger opportunities by any stretch. I mean,
five high danger chances in the game?
Five high danger chances, and I mean, I'd have to look closer, but I would suspect most of those high danger chances came in the third period. Because to your point, I mean, yes, they out-coursed the Jets, but this is going to be one of those games where Paul Maurice, who's, you know, we remember when we've had the. There's been the back and forth about analytics and the Jets analytics internally versus the externally available ones. This was a game where, you know, where the Flames were just shooting from everywhere, you know, especially the outside through the first two periods, and the shots just weren't, there was no purpose to them.
Well, the Jets let them have that. Let him take that.
Of course, against Connor Hellebuyck, no doubt. And so it was just, you know, that Flames team should be better, and they should be able to get to high danger zones. You look at the offensive talent that's on.
What's wrong with Drew with Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan? I think something is wrong with these guys. Like, I don't know,
health wise or attitude wise.
I don't think there's anything wrong with them health wise, but just the way that they're, like, Sean Monahan had. What did he have? 35 goals, 80 points a couple years ago. Like, Johnny Gaudreau had a 99 point season. What was that? 3 years. Like, these are, you know, top 20 forwards in the NHL, or at least they were a couple of years ago. And you're watching these guys and you're just thinking, like, where's the energy to your game? Like, I thought Matthew Tkachuk was really good. I mentioned, like, Mangiapane. And obviously, you know, the talent falls off a little bit. They definitely don't have the same type of depth in their bottom six, right? And give the Jets all types of credit, right? Like, you know, I really liked Dubois' line. Like, I thought they were solid. And the Jets weren't excellent. It's not like, you know, they were, you know, head and shoulders better than the Flames. I thought the fourth line had some good shifts, you know, more earlier in the game. I agree, Drew. Like, Mark Giordano, you know, this guy won the Norris a couple of years ago. And like Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev, that's your top pair there. And we talked about Hanifin, you know, rang one off the crossbar, but there was a terrible giveaway that led to a Kyle Connor breakaway. If you guys remember, Hanifin was trying to get the puck, you know, on the blue line to Chris Tanev.
Just the one that he didn't score on.
That's what I'm saying.
Connor had his two breakaways. The one he scored on was in the second period, of course. And then this one that you're talking about, Ezzy. Yeah, the Flames.
Well, if you want me to go into that one, I'm a PVR guy. I'm obviously, you know, rewinding live TV. Like, was that not the worst line change you've ever seen?
It was Tucker Pullman played well. He's not known for his outlet passes. He didn't
his first point in 20 games.
Yeah, there was nobody on the ice.
I know. That's my point. He didn't have to feather that one through a lot of sticks to get it onto Kyle Connor. Like you said, it was a terrible line change, and he, you know, walked in. And, I mean, look, Markstrom, if you're Jacob Markstrom, you have to be sitting here saying, I made the save on Kyle Connor there. I made a big save on one of the elite goal scorers in this league, and still he's able to get his own rebound and deposit it past me. Like, where's the help from his teammates? That Calgary, you know, something is rotten with that Flames team that I don't think Daryl Sutter is going to be the panacea that solves all their problems. I think there's something culturally wrong, and that's why I expect, you know, let's assume, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, and we'll talk more about this, of course, you know, tomorrow morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. But, you know, you assume, and Haley Salvian, who covers the Flames for The Athletic, is going to join us so we can ask her about this. You have to assume that if the Flames season continues to go off the rails, and given that, Dave, like you said, they're now 11 points behind the Winnipeg Jets, you know, you have to assume that if their season continues to go off the rails, big changes afoot personnel-wise, because they can't fire any more coaches. I'm pretty sure Brad Treliving has hired 88 coaches in his tenure as GM in Calgary.
Well, and not only that, they gave Sutter a multi-year contract, right?
That's so right.
It's,
yeah.
It's, I mean, again, you can fire him, and you know, but they're not going to. Obviously, you're going to have to start making personnel changes. One quick aside, Drew, I thought it was funny. I didn't want to start ripping on the NHL account, but they said when Kyle Connor scored his goal, they go, yeah, boy, he's becoming a really good goal scorer. And I thought to myself, where have you been? I'm like, this guy would have been a 40 goal scorer. He's been a 30 goal scorer pretty much every year he's been in the NHL full time. He's you know, scored like 25 goals out of 50 or 28 goals in 50 something AHL games. And he scored 35 goals in 38 games in college. I think he's been a good goal scorer for a while. It's kind of one of those things that you see and you think to yourself, now you understand why when these guys go to these markets and they're like, Kyle Connor is really good. Nikola, I'm thinking to myself, like, where have you been? How have you not seen these guys? Kyle Connor has been like one of the best goal scorers since he's been in the NHL. It's
just like Jansen Harkins, Dave, just like Logan Stanley, you were ahead of everybody. Because if you remember, Dave was tracking Kyle Connor's goals in Michigan when he had the record, right? So yeah, you're absolutely right, Dave. Like if you haven't been watching the Jets for the last 4 years, then you obviously wouldn't know. But I mean, Kyle Connor is, what is he, seventh in goals in the last 3 years?
There's a reason why Patrick Laine was expendable, guys, and that's because Kyle Connor's on a long-term deal here, and he's an elite goal scorer in the NHL. But I say I do have to enjoy Dave choking on his rage a little bit. That you don't usually see Dave Minuk getting all fired up like that. So I did enjoy seeing Dave get a little bit of the fire in his belly there, and it's not just because it's Passover and he hasn't been able to and he hasn't had things being cycling through.
And Rob Noakes in the chat there, just calm down about Southern California. Like, I did spend my honeymoon in Santa Monica, but it's minus 10 in Winnipeg right now. So just settle down with the Southern California talk, obviously.
See, Matthew Thompson confirming what Ezzy was saying, that he is seventh in league scoring since the start of the 2017-18 season. I just thought it was funny. I mean, again, I don't want to rip on someone who obviously doesn't follow Winnipeg as closely as we do and as closely as everybody here in the chat. But I just thought it was ironic coming from the official NHL account that they seemed a little clueless in terms of one of the premier goal scoring wingers in the NHL.
They might not have the number one social media guy working on the Friday night shift when there's only four games, but you know, your point is valid nonetheless, Dave, that Kyle Connor certainly is an elite goal scorer in the NHL, and we saw it again. I mean, you know, on the broadcast, you know, Dennis was sort of incredulous about how, you know, Connor was still able to stay with the play on that goal after making the save. Because usually, you know, you don't have that opportunity to then get your own rebound.
Well, he looked like he was already way past it.
That's right. It looked like he was already past it. And that's why, you know, understandably, that's why they thought that it might have been an own goal by the Flames, because you saw the Flames defenseman who was trailing on the play come in and the puck almost go immediately into the net. So,
All anybody should be focused on that goal. Obviously, you know, give Kyle Connor a lot of credit. Yes, Tucker Pullman makes a nice pass. Go back and watch that line change. I watched that thing three times. I'm just saying, I've seen some bad line changes at different levels of hockey, but that was a new low for me. So I just go back. I mean, I might be, you know, fixating on this a little bit, but like, I just don't understand how you can make that bad of a line change at the NHL level.
Because they're not, the attention to detail of the Calgary Flames is clearly lacking. And, you know, the attention to detail is, you know, for you know, whatever you want to say about the Winnipeg Jets and about Paul Maurice, and he certainly has his, he has his detractors, and there's been times where I've disagreed with a lot of his decisions. The Jets' attention to detail is usually pretty good. And there's something to be said for that he still has the attention of that dressing room this many years into his tenure as the Winnipeg Jets head coach. So I'll give him credit for that. I don't still know why Jansen Harkins hasn't played hockey for this team in about, you know, 800 months at this point in time. And that's still not, there's no good answer to me there. But the fact that the Winnipeg Jets, you know, look, they lost the two games in a row. Everybody was getting ready to press the panic button. It was last Saturday. We were doing the post-game show. Well, I mean, there was a lot of people who were certainly in the chat last Saturday. You wouldn't know. You weren't able to make it for the post-game show as you were sleeping at that point.
He was probably actually part of the chat, Drew.
That's true. But people in the chat were very upset last Saturday. And, you know, Paul Maurice came out and he did his post-game and he said, you know, basically what he said is, look, we played the last nine games against teams that are currently in the playoffs. And we finished that nine game stretch at 4-4-1 or 5-4, whatever it was. It was pretty close to 500. He said, basically, just I mean, in his own way, without saying the word specifically, he basically just said relax. Mm-hmm. And so, what happens?
That's true.
That's a fair.
I think
you also said that last post game show, Drew. So but let's get some new material here.
Well, but it's applicable because they've now won three in a row. He hasn't made any lineup changes, and the team. You know, the attention to detail for the Winnipeg Jets continues to be good. It is
I was completely joking.
I know you were. I'm not worried.
I know that's relevant, Drew. No, you're right. I mean, one team, again, like sometimes you can simplify what's happening in a game. Like if you look at it big picture, right? Like this Calgary Flames team is not confident. And you're right, Drew. I mean, there are going to be a lot of questions, especially after this game. Like, if you're Bradtree Living, why aren't you moving a Johnny Gaudreau, right? Like, he's got 1 year left, just under $7 million. Like, does anybody think this Flames team is going to turn it around, you know, in the next year or two? Like, I think they're in a very similar situation to, like, where Ottawa was at, you know, two or three years ago. And obviously, Ottawa is still rebuilding, but I think Calgary is definitely going to have to consider, you know, moving some of these players. Like, aside from Matthew, how many players are untouchable on the Flames? Kachuk, you would say, is untouchable. They're not going to obviously move Jacob Markstrom. They just acquired him, right? Yeah. But like, aside from that, why wouldn't you consider moving Sean Monahan? I really like Lindholm's contract, so I wouldn't move Lindholm. But you know, aside from that, like I really do think you have to look at this team and consider moving almost everybody.
I would agree with you, and like I said, we'll talk more certainly about the Flames tomorrow. But if you're right, Ezzie, I mean, first of all, I'm not sure that Brad Treliving should be the guy who gets to, you know, see the Flames through the rebuild, given the number of mistakes or coaching changes that, you know, that he's made in his tenure. But that to the side, I mean, I think if you're the Flames, you have to build around Markstrom, Kachuk, and Lindholm, and you probably have to trade Monahan and Gaudreau at this point in time, because whatever it is, for whatever reason, things aren't working well in Calgary. You know, you come back, you know, forget the push in the third period for the Flames. You come off the losses to Ottawa, bad enough that you've lost to Ottawa, but you've come off those losses to Ottawa, and there's really no push from them in the first 40 minutes to speak of. There's not a lot of energy to their game. There's not a lot of excitement to the game. The Jets get, you know, they get the early power play goal from Wheeler, and sure, that's a bit of a puck luck bounce, but you know, you could say that the goal that the Flames got off of Morrissey's skate is also a puck luck bounce in their favor. And then it's 2-0 on the Connor one. And then, like, when Lucic, you know, that's a selfish play Lucic has hit on Appleton. and we'll know.
By the way, I don't know how it was in 5 minutes.
We'll see if there's supplemental discipline from the NHL.
I understand the whole ref has to be cognizant of the game and how close it is. But I'm thinking to myself, the guy is in a vulnerable position. He hits him in the numbers right into the boards.
And it wasn't one of those instances where Appleton turns right at the last minute or anything.
He was
stationary basically. And I was completely
pointless and stupid. Yeah. You're 100% right, Dave and Drew. Like there was just no need to do it. And it was the timing. Like, and the thing is, Lucic is a veteran player. Like he's been around enough. Like, I guess he hasn't been around enough because he's still doing the stupid stuff, you know, in his mid-30s, but you know, just he really made it hard for the Flames to come back there when you've got that 4 minute minor. And, you know, we talked about it, like, you know, if Lucic doesn't take that penalty, there's a good chance that game goes into overtime. Right. So just really stupid, bad line changes, turnovers. And again, like sometimes you just have to say like, this team isn't very good this year. Right. Like, I don't know. Again, I do think, you know, they could easily have a few more wins on the season, but you know, just watching this team and the way they've played for the majority of the year, like there's nothing that I'm seeing that would make me think that they're going to go on an extended winning streak and maybe, you know, sneak into a playoff spot, because they also don't have the games in hand, right? Like Montreal's been off. So I think Montreal has 4 games in hand on Calgary. So they're pretty much done.
I would agree with your comment there. Let's go to Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice, his thoughts on tonight's contest.
Can you get when your group is clicking the way it is on the power play and you've moved into a top 5 situation?
Well, there's an awareness by the other team, you know, when you're coming in against a strong power play, that you got to be careful with penalties that you take. But most of that then is just confidence over the boards, right? So we had, well, we'll call it Andrew Kopp's unit in Vancouver, because he scored the 2 goals. They're there. It's just the way that penalties, we scored on the first one, so Shifes goes second, then we get the split over the 2 periods. So second unit really didn't get much of an opportunity to score tonight, or to get on the ice really for that matter. But having 2 that can score and feel like they can score when they go over, they play differently. Confidence.
I will go next to Ted Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, further to that, how much are those 2 units feeding off of one another, and are they, you know, having a healthy competition with one
another? Yeah, healthy and respectful, right? The first unit that gets out is usually Scheif, and sometimes the function of that is just the face-off guys, right? I have lefty and righty on that unit with Sass, so that you've got 2, you know, kind of strong face-off men. And then, you know, they're coming off the ice at the right time too. They're not trying to take a minute and a half, minute 40, because they know the other guys have earned the right to get out there. But the each have an identity, and the second unit's identity is more shot focused, which makes them almost better coming off second, right? They'll come out of it in shorter time. How many pucks can we get to the net? Nicky likes to shoot the puck there. So they play at a different pace. But yeah, I mean, there's an awful lot of good ribbing that goes on in the power play meetings between the 2, deciding which is the first unit, which is the second. So
we're next to Jason Bell from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, you talk about a power play. What about the PK at the end there? And the benefit of a veteran foursome there to be able to kill.
Right.
All with his tail between his legs, probably in the penalty box, cheering them on.
Yeah, just hoping, right, that good things will happen. They got a bad break on the first one, but we've been pretty solid with our PK. Everybody understands their role. When it gets to 6-on-4, they know the changes that they make in it. And at the end of it, you know, it's really Adam's face-off win, right? There's more confidence in that group. I think they're in sync really well. I didn't think they gave up a whole heck of a lot. We're aggressive at the right times, passive at the right time. So having guys that have experience on that penalty kill is really important.
We'll go back to Ken Weaver from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Paul, what stood out about your work with your defensive structure? You did a really good job of keeping
it outside. I thought I thought we were collapsed in our own end at the right times and aggressive at the right times. It was a little like our penalty kill. Really competitive in some puck battles within 10 feet of the net. Did a real good job with that. I think our forwards, for the most part, did a nice job of not leaving our D alone. So there were some clean outlets, and then we did stretch at the right time too, you know, and we ended up with a goal because of it. But our forwards and our D are working well together in terms of their spacing in our end.
We'll go next to Murat Atesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Gregor. Hi, Paul. I'm just wondering, I've always kind of wondered, is there a general rule for when to front a guy in front of the net, way to when to play behind him, how you approach that?
I think the first thing that you look at is the kind of shot that's coming. So if it's a one-timer, you're going to sit in behind and you're looking to pick up sticks, and the goalie's got to stop that. But if you can get pressure on the point and force the wrist shot, something with less heat on it, you're going to step out in front of that. We like forward motion on that step out. So it's not stand and block that shot. It's push into the shot so that anything that comes off you comes forward, and that you have the motion as opposed to the guy that might be. You're taking a risk when you do that. The puck cannot get by you, right? Because you're very probably leaving the offensive player in behind you on the step out. So if you're making that decision, you need the forward to have pushed that you can have read that it's a wrister or something that you're going to be able to handle. And then you've got to have that puck, right? There's a bit of a risk to that play. If it's going side to side and your forward's not in the angle and the D's stepping into it, we're expecting you to stay as close to your tender as you can, just in case, on a something that's a heater, he'll stop it, but he may not be able to control it. We want that inside layer then on those.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. Blake touched on this earlier, and you touched on it a little bit there, but him talking about how your team is playing really solidly as a five-man unit and how the ability to do that and to stay together really erases the mistakes that are made, because whenever you make a mistake, there's four guys there to kind of cover up that mistake. I'm just interested in where you think your team is at in playing like that and the confidence that it creates in the players when you are playing like that.
I think, you know, there's two or three, you know, maybe inflection points, and they both happen to be actually Toronto games. I think we started after our first loss in Toronto. We got much better at it. That's a long time ago. But I think that our game in Toronto was right, and we got good results from it. And then I didn't think that we did maybe in three of our next four. We lost three of our next four games. But our game, you know, we had the heavy turnovers and lost to Montreal, the three that were kind of egregious. And then we had some unusual kind of one-offs in the Edmonton game. But our game was pretty darn solid there. Like, big bulk of it is right. And I think they're just kind of building on it. So you're seeing, you know, the kind of the advantages of a team that's going out and their first priority isn't necessarily scoring goals. In our mind, I mean, that's the kind of players that we have, right? We have some offense here. Going out to the right thing and to win hockey games. And if that means better defense than offense, then that's the game we're going to try to play. So I think they have their minds right about, and I think, again, I've alluded to this, it's maturity, right? We're here to win hockey games, not score goals. But when you're real young, that's how you kind of break into the league. You want to be that offensive style player. And now we've got more guys competing defensively, even if they came into the league as offensive players.
And final question to Ted Wyman from the Sun. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, just to follow up on that, if you look at the last three games, is that sort of how you draw it up as a coach with the good goaltending? You obviously have had very good defense these last few games, and you've got that, you know, really powerful scoring up front.
Yeah, I mean, that's the template, right? You would, when they get the puck, you want to be a real good defensive team. You hope that you have the puck more than they do, but there are nights against, you know, really good offensive teams that can control the puck, like Toronto. You just have to be a really good defensive team and make the most of your offense. And then there's some nights maybe you feel you have the offensive advantage and you'd like to make plays, but you want to be able to kind of seamlessly bounce back and forth between those two and not try to impose your offensive game necessarily on teams and lose the defensive part of your game, right? You don't want to be just one kind of team. So you want to be able to, if the other team's got a goal on that night and they're feeling it and they're snapping it around, that you can weather that game, that you can go in and play well enough defensively and be patient with it. And then there's nights where you can impose your will a little bit and you want to make sure you've got, you know, the confidence to put the pedal down. We've been in, you know, we went 9 straight games against teams in playoff positions, and 7 of them were on the road, came out 500. But I thought our game after game 2 in Toronto was pretty darn good in the last 5 games. We played pretty well and then kind of just continued on the last 3.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club. Bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. That was Jets head coach Paul Maurice. Want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. They help make this show possible. They help make the post-game show possible. They help make the Saturday's Illegal Curve hockey show possible. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and our friends at Boston Pizza. Thanks to them, and thanks to so many of you for joining us this morning now in the chat. Great to see such a
We want to see all these same people tomorrow morning in about 9 hours.
Yes, of course.
And nine Dave, hours, was that a yawn that I just heard?
No, I was like, come on, Drew, let's go, speed it up. You know, it's time for Ezzy and I to drop some knowledge here. I mean,
yeah, we've got some analysis to get into.
We just watched the commercials. We don't need another commercial, you know?
Fair enough. Before I let you guys give some final thoughts on tonight, a couple quotes coming out of the Calgary Flames dressing room. This from Darren Haynes, who covers the Flames for the Athletic, if I'm not mistaken. This from Flames head coach. Canadian Press, sorry. Daryl Sutter. Quote, we had some real dopey hockey players in the first period. It cost us the hockey game. That from Flames head coach Daryl Sutter. Both Daryl Sutter and Milan Lucic expressed displeasure with the extra 2-minute roughing call that he got on the hit on Appleton, complaining that he got cross-checked by Neil Pionk earlier and it didn't result in anything. So complaining coming from the Flames dressing room, complaining about the officiating, and Daryl Sutter complaining about his team and especially their performance in the first period. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I mean, I was going to say, I think they've got bigger fish to fry than worrying about those penalties. I mean, at the end of the day, your team didn't look overly good for the majority of that game, right? So, and you've lost four straight. And I understand a coach is just trying to rally his troops and get everybody kind of us against the world mentality, because he has to do something. He has to get these guys going. He has to get this turned around. I mean, look, there's still a few games left to go in the season. It's not as if they've only got like a handful left. They've still got some games that they can play. And the one thing about the North Division is they're all 4-point games. So, you know, they, well, if they win,
when you're down by 11 points.
Well, sure. But I mean, look, you win the next two. You're still, I mean, look, it's seven games. It's not insurmountable, but it's not easy either. But at the same time, it's a lot more palatable, right, than the alternative, which is 15, if my math is correct. So, I mean, that's a situation, you know, if you're Calgary and you're just trying to save your season, I understand what he's doing. I mean, again, nobody who's on this show right now is going to agree with his analysis, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to us watching that game, aside from his comments about some dopey hockey players. Because it just didn't seem like Calgary had it, right? You watched that game and you really didn't think, again, I'm not saying that Winnipeg put on some stellar performance, but it just didn't seem like, if I'm like, you know, it's when would we always talked about the Jets? When they've had to come out and had a decent performance after a bad one, they've been able to do it for the most part. And I thought, you think to yourself, Calgary's got to have something in the tank. They've got to do something. I mean, what's their goal differential? Minus 14? I think they've scored the least number of goals. I think they're at 91 goals right now on the season for the North Division, which is one less than Ottawa. I mean, you brought in Jacob Markstrom to be this goaltender. I'm not blaming him because he can't score goals. But if you scored less goals in Ottawa, which everybody was making fun of Ottawa this year, Ottawa's going to be a joke, and you can't score as many goals as Ottawa, how are you going to be a playoff team?
Three less goals than the Senators. Granted, the Senators have played an extra game, but the Flames have 91 goals, four on the season now. The Senators have 90. The Flames have 91. The Senators have 94. Minus 14 goal differential. To your point, Dave, it hasn't been the goaltending; it's been the goal scoring, and that's hard to believe. Yeah. As you referenced earlier in the post game show, when you have a roster that features Lindholm, Tkachuk, Gaudreau, Monahan, you know. Gaudreau and Monahan certainly just aren't pulling their weight for the Calgary Flames this season, or even last year, even though they did make it, of course, into the playoffs after defeating the Jets in the play-in series there, Ezzy.
Boys, Daryl Sutter said it himself that they were dopey in the first period, and they were really pretty dopey through the first two periods. And as far as, you know, saying that Neil Pionk should have got a penalty there, I mean, that's excuses, but you're going to say that, you know, Lucic, his penalty wasn't a double minor. Like Dave said it, I said it earlier, he could have easily been kicked out of the game for that. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, tomorrow night's game and the fact that it could be a very chippy game. And I agree with that. I think because Calgary has lost four games in a row now, second game of a back-to-back, and just the nature of the Calgary Flames, we know that they've got some chippy players. But in terms of Lucic, he might not even be in the game to fight like an Adam Lowry or a Logan Stanley. Like he could be suspended is what I mean. I don't know if he will be, but I'm just saying there is the possibility, because as Drew mentioned, that was a hit in which that was clearly from behind. It's not like there's no gray area there. Like that was a dirty boarding hit that could have easily been a major. So yes, it could be a very chippy game tomorrow night, boys, and the Flames are hopefully more desperate. But as we talked about, if you weren't desperate in back-to-back games against Ottawa, and if you weren't desperate in the first two periods at home against the Jets, and I realize, you know, coming off of a road trip, sometimes, you know, the game's a little bit slow. Mm-hmm. You can use that excuse for maybe one period. But even in the second period, with the exception of a couple of good scoring chances, we talked about it. What did they have? Five high danger the whole game. I think they only had three through the first two periods. It's not going to cut it. And I agree with Dave. Daryl Sutter can say whatever he wants. And I respect Daryl Sutter a lot. He's a really good hockey coach. He's got the Stanley Cup rings and a lot of wins there. But, I mean, it's too little too late for them.
What did you think about him putting Lucic right back on the ice after the double minor? You would think that, you know.
I don't know why he did.
Where's the account of, I mean, where?
Because he had a goal earlier in the game? Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, but you also have to understand, he probably, I mean, the kind of coach he is, he probably didn't necessarily disagree with the, you know, the penalty.
Truculence?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he probably wasn't upset about that. I mean, that would be a little punch your face. Usually it's metaphorically speaking, but in this manner, it's literally speaking. And I don't know that he would necessarily have a big issue with that. I think he took more issue with the refereeing than he did with this player. So I don't know. I mean, I don't have a problem with it because of where it's coming from. If you think about his thought process, not why you would do it, but what is he thinking. So, you know, and again, look, at the end of the day, like, as bad as Calgary has been, right? They're 4 points back. They played four more games. Yeah. So that doesn't serve them well than Montreal. They're only 4 points back. So yeah, although again, Montreal has four games in hand. So the Jets seem like they're past the Flames. You know, the Jets, and again, we've talked about that. If the Jets get one more win, I just don't see how, you know, a 13-point differential, even or 11, if they come out of this with just a split.
You're saying one more win in the next two games.
In the next two, then I think, yeah. Like, it's very difficult to envision Calgary doing something to catch Winnipeg. But it's not impossible. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens made a trade. You know, they acquired Staal today from the Sabres. So they're obviously gearing up. And to me, that seems like that's the cream, right? You got Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Montreal. That seems to be the four teams that are going to seize this opportunity. It's not done by any stretch of the imagination. There's still quite a few games left to go, but it just seems to me like Vancouver kind of doing what we expected. Ottawa, again, putting in some good performances, but doing primarily what we expected. And now Calgary is that one team that we weren't certain seems to be dropping down. And again, that coaching bounce doesn't seem to be lifting them very high.
Well, yeah, it happened. What were they, 4-1 in the first five games under Daryl Sutter, Dave? And yeah, you wonder if that was a mirage, right? And it was. Yeah, it was, though, right? Like, again, like, you know, it's not like we're sitting here and we're hoping that, you know, the Flames fail here. I mean, we're just being honest with our analysis. Like, they didn't play well. And when the head coach is coming out after the game and saying that my team was dopey, and that's like classic Daryl Sutter, right, guys? Like, we remember him with the Kings and before that with the Flames. Like, he's full of, you know, comedic gold, right? But it's true. Like, they weren't good. You can't really create excuses for why you have that type of effort. And yes, I mean, the Jets were smothering them. The Jets played a really structured game. They had five forwards back. We talked about it. They were keeping a lot of things to the outside. Like, Forbert and Pionk had another one of those classic games. I thought Morrissey and Pullman were really solid. Like, just, and overall, the Lowry line, like we talked about Dubois, Connor, Ehlers, like that wasn't one of their best offensive games. Like, obviously, you know, Connor picks up the assist there picked up the goal there. But like, it really wasn't a game in which you could say that, you know, one team was clearly better than the other team. It was just one of those games where, you know, Calgary, when they finally had a chance in the game when they, you know, made it a one goal game with Lucic's goal. You know, it's ironic that he shoots himself in the foot and he shoots his entire team in the foot and basically makes it almost impossible for the team to come back with that double minor.
And we will leave it with those comments from Mr.
Ginsburg. Two penalties. It wasn't a double minor, but it was, you know what I mean? Two penalties.
4 minutes and penalties, the roughing and the boarding. We got what you mean there, big boy. We'll leave it with that. It'll be 9 a.m. before we know it. In fact, it'll be 9 a.m. in 8 hours and 40 minutes.
Hey, the way Ken and Sean seem to be doing their post-game show, they may still be going when we're ready. They might do a hand. So we're going to hand off to them and then maybe they'll hand off back to us.
But before people leave, Dave, they're not allowed to leave until smash that like button,
smash that subscribe button,
smash ring that bell button, ring the bell.
We're here. There's over 300 of you right now.
Yeah,
and we've got a lot of likes. I'm happy with the likes. We've got 105. Yeah. We could use more.
That's so right.
This is the time, folks. Before you go over to Sean and Ken,
we want at least 125.
Oh no, we want two. We want 200.
Let me see two. I want to see two. He's going to do another one.
And boys, Connor actually had a goal and an assist there, so I misspoke. I was remembering the power play goal. But needless to say, you know, the Jets didn't need to be, you know, at the top of their game to beat the Flames because they just beat themselves. So
I want to quickly add, and we know the only change really for tomorrow, and the Jets aren't going to skate, so the only change is Lauren Brossoit will get the net as opposed to Connor Hellebuyck, but I mean, Connor Hellebuyck's been pretty good. I mean, there was, you know, Connor Hellebuyck did what he did. You know, he's come in and he's kind of smooth sailings lately. And again, that's what
three goals in three games, Dave. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. And really could have had a shutout in the last one, right? So, to me, it's exactly what you want to see as your team kind of gets that roll together and starts to maybe put together the. Again, it's funny, right? The road trip started off inauspiciously with those two losses, and now you've put together three wins, and we'll see what they can do in these final two. But you've got Connor Hellebuyck playing like Connor Hellebuyck. Lauren Brossoit has been excellent as a backup, and the Jets seem to be getting performances from everybody across the line. So it'll again, you're playing lesser competition. They wouldn't say that, but it's the truth right now in terms of the standings. And we'll see if they can keep this rolling tomorrow night in Calgary and then finish it off on Monday.
And for exactly. Goon, if we do hit 200, I will bring out the robe.
Yeah, nobody wants to see Ezzy wearing a robe.
You, but do you have a staff?
I don't have a staff, but I'll find one.
Don't you have Vander Kane's stick still?
Didn't we pick up like some sticks?
And Evander's cane is now Mikey McMikeface. There is no more Evander's cane.
So. For the record, Ezzy did have Evander's cane given to him by Mikey McMikeface. But if I recall correctly, I think he left it at. Where did you leave it? You left it at like the was it the Pretty Ukrainian sure the Pavilion?
Pemby. It was the Pemby, I think.
Oh, maybe it was. I think it was at an Illegal Curve event or something like that. And then like Evander's cane was all happy to give. Sorry, Evander's cane, who was Mikey McMikeface. We gave Ezzy the. How can you tell it's 12:30 and we don't know what we're talking about at this point?
It's pretty evident to everybody. Let's end it on that note. Reminder, everyone, 9 a.m. tomorrow. That's 8 hours and 38 minutes from now. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be live here on our YouTube channel. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Be sure to hit that reminder button. That way you won't miss a minute of anything. And, of course, tomorrow night, after tomorrow night's game, we're back at it again with the post-game show. It's going to be a busy 24 hours, and you guys will certainly be sick of us in no time flat. But we appreciate you all joining us this morning now here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We
peace do it to Marshall and SoCal, baby. SoCal.
Hey, there you go. As he stops singing, just as long as you don't start singing or anything, we'll be fine. Thanks to everyone for listening. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until tomorrow at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck.